It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
All right, hour number three here on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Again, Felger coming to you on location here. Maz and Murray back in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Everything's on the board. We're brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch them at BernardiAutoGroup.com. And as I just called my call screener again, one of our friends, Adam in Brockton, is on the line. We'll bring him up here. His brother is Bob in Easton. If you've listened to the show over the years, you know that the brothers are, you know, they love each other dearly, but they hate each other when it comes to the Patriots. Bob in Easton is the ultimate Patriots honk. He called us the other day to get on us for criticizing Brady this season. Adam in Brockton is not a Patriots fan. They are brothers, but they have a little bit of a back and forth when it comes to this stuff. So Adam in Brockton wants to respond to his brother from yesterday criticizing us for criticizing Brady. Adam, how you doing?
I'm pretty sure I'm going to fill that a-hole chair right now. and I'll get to my brother, but let me just address again these fake phony Patriot fans, and I've shortened it to the acronym FPPF. Stop referring to we and us when talking about the Patriots. You're not on the friggin' team. I know you think you are because every Sunday you put on your face paint and put on your Brady or Gronk jersey, but newsflash, you look pathetic. Nobody over the age of 12 should be wearing a jersey. I mean, did these morons put on a pair of Speedos when watching an episode of Baywatch? No. Just like I didn't see any Hartley Dyke or Mosey DeTupu jerseys when they were 1-15. And I'm tired of hearing, I had season tickets and sat on the metal benches at Sullivan Stadium. No, you didn't. There's a reason why the games are blacked out. There was no Patriot fans, and nobody went to the game because they sucked. And finally, let me educate my donkey brother Bobby about what makes great radio. And this is why he doesn't get why you guys are getting on Brady. He was right, Mike. Your competition is a huge pile of horse manure, okay? It's basically a redemption center that recycles old crappy hosts and former players. For years, you couldn't criticize the Patriots because they had boring player interviews all week. You couldn't criticize the Bruins because they had a host who worked as their play-by-play guy. And you couldn't criticize the Red Sox because they had a weekly interview with the manager. So along comes your fantastic show. And Bobby, listen, okay? Listen. They follow a simple formula. Biggest reason Howard Stern fans listen, they wanted to hear what he said next. Biggest Howard Stern haters fans for reason for listening, they wanted to hear what he said next. So, Felger, you keep needling these idiots, and I guarantee you they're going to want to hear what you say next.
Adam, have a happy Thanksgiving. Wish your brother a happy Thanksgiving, too, all right?
You guys as well. Thanks.
Okay, baby. A lot of love there from Adam in Brockton.
Absolutely.
How about this week? Here's a thought on this week and the Texans. Isn't this just another game, Maz, where the opposing coach sort of ruins it? When I say ruins it, the chance for a really, you know, epic sort of game. I mean, it's another one of these, and I don't think that the Texans are as talented as the Cowboys. Like, I think the Cowboys are talented on both sides of the ball and up and down the roster. I don't think the Texans have that kind of talent. But let me ask you, has Bill O'Brien gotten the most out of Deshaun Watson, who might be Lamar Jackson's equal or Pat Mahomes' equal? I mean, people think of him in terms of pure talent in that category. Does Bill O'Brien get the most out of Deshaun Watson?
No. Look, and I happen to think, you know, when people talk about players being overrated, and we've heard a lot of that on Jackson today. See, I think Watson's overrated. Now, I don't think he sucks. He's good. But people talk about him like he's, you know, I don't know who. I mean, you know, Michael Vick. And I just watch Watson sometimes, and I feel like he makes some really dumb plays. He holds on to the ball way too long. I'm not sure he's a precision passer, and I still question his decision making. Okay,
well, let me ask you this,
but he's a uniquely talented quarterback. I'll give him that.
Do you think Bill O'Brien lets him play the way the Ravens are letting Lamar Jackson play?
No. Absolutely not.
You know, so I think Bill O'Brien has a lot of problems. As a game manager, I've seen him bungle the clock and not be bold where he should be bold and be too bold when he should be more conservative. So I think I don't think Bill O'Brien has a great feel for his in-game decision-making. I don't think he has a good feel for the game. And when I've watched him coach a team, manage a game. But I think overall, the way they've handled Deshaun Watson, when you look at what Harbaugh has done with Lamar Jackson, hasn't he just said to Lamar Jackson, we're going to build it around you and you play. You do your thing. We're not going to try and, you know, fit you into the NFL hole. We're not going to try and, you know, square peg into the round hole. You know, we're not going to make you read a defense or stay in the pocket. Don't you feel they've tried to do that with Deshaun Watson from day one a little bit there?
Yeah, I would say yeah. I mean, I think they let him run a little bit. The only thing, I have a hard time comparing him to Jackson, though, only because I don't think he's as fast. And I think that's a big thing. Jackson can fly.
I also think that they're afraid of him getting hurt again. Again, I mentioned it yesterday. He's blown out both ACLs in the last 4 years. So, you know, I can understand why there's some concern about just trying to keep him in the pocket. Now, I don't think that's playing to his strength, but I get it.
But to your point, I'll tell you what. Even so, take the Baltimore comparison out of it, okay? Because I'm not telling you that that's wrong. I'm just telling you I don't see it that way, okay? Their offense should be better than it is. It should be better than it is. They should do more creative things. It feels to me like their big plays come from when something breaks down, Watson escapes, and then makes a throw, and they make a big play. It's not out of design. I don't feel like they're a team that drives the ball down the field on you. Like, I feel like the elusiveness of the quarterback and his ability to extend plays leads to big plays. But I don't feel like they're as explosive as Baltimore is.
Right, and I feel that, you know, Bill O'Brien is a offensive coordinator. Harbaugh's a special teams coach. So and Harbaugh usually defers his offensive coordinating duties. I mean, he does. I know he doesn't often. He does. He's always had a sort of a separate autonomous offensive coordinator. Bill O'Brien came through here. It's not the only place he's been, but he came through here. He coached Tom Brady in this offense. In his mind, it's, and I think he's got the right idea, but it's, here's the scheme. Here's your progression. Read 1, 2, 3, 4. Look left, throw right. Look off the safety, throw the other. All those things. And so, wasn't there a story that Bill O'Brien didn't even want Deshaun Watson when they drafted him?
Yes.
Because he wants to coach a Tom Brady type and a Tom Brady, and I understand where he's coming from. I think that's the way to go. But I think Deshaun Watson was born into that environment where Lamar Jackson goes to Harbaugh, and Harbaugh's like, screw it, run, go, do your thing. I don't care. I don't need to, you know, I'm not reinventing the wheel here. I don't need to scheme this crap up. You go make plays. And I think it's another thing I may hold against Bill O'Brien. I don't think they get the most out of Deshaun Watson. Maybe they tried to make him into too much of your classic NFL pocket quarterback.
Yeah, I've been disappointed with O'Brien in Houston. And again, I liked him because I like the fact that he stood up to Brady here. That's what I liked. I liked the fact that O'Brien was not intimidated by Tom Brady and didn't acquiesce to Brady. And I thought, ooh, there's some good leadership there then. There's some good leadership skills. And then he went to Penn State and he did a good job there. And I thought, okay, this guy can coach. The problem is he really, to me, he's more of a, you know, if you're going to use a prototype as a coach. And stylistically, and I'm not saying he's the same guy, he's more like the Parcells style, which is it's the personality that is, magnetic about him. That's the part that I find that will draw guys to him is the personality. He should farm off the coordinating to someone else. And the play, like all of that, he should just give that up because I feel like watching them, I've been waiting on the Texans for how many years?
Right, and I think now the quarterback... They have the quarterback. He's as talented as any guy in the league. He is. He's just bursting with talent. And I don't know if O'Brien gets the most out of him. I don't know if he gets the most out of that team. And this is just another matchup. Like, I don't think it's going to be much of a game. I mean, we've just seen he's 0-5 against Bill Belichick. 0-5. And I don't see how he goes to 1-5. And it's all because of the coach. That quarterback's good enough to beat you. The Texans have the pieces to beat you. They're at home, for crying out loud, on Sunday night. That's a big advantage.
Mike, Indy shut them down.
They have a great quarterback, and they're at home on Sunday night, and I give them no chance. And that's because the coach.
He should have been out on his ass after that playoff loss to Indianapolis last year. I'm stunned he ended up remaining there.
And that's too bad. I think, you know, we're seeing back-to-back weeks. The biggest problem in the league is coaching, folks. The biggest problem in the league is coaching. If Dallas had a real coach, what could that team be? If Deshaun Watson or that group in Texas had a in Houston had a different coach, you know, what would that team be? And I think we're just sort of seeing this on a weekly basis. All right, we'll do the email of the day coming up next, which will relate to the Fuppets. Mason, we'll do the Fuppets coming up next segment. We have fresh Fuppets. We want to run it twice because it's always that good from Hardy. And this one thing relates to the other. So we'll get to your phones and we'll do those things. And again, there's a couple open lines if you want to grab them at 617-779-0985 to you and these other items right after these words.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Does having not beaten the Patriots as a head coach, is that something that's an extra motivator for you this week?
I think we just, you know, every year is different, You know, obviously we've struggled against the Patriots in past years, but this is a different year. You know, every year is different. Our team's different. Their team's a little bit different. And we just have to go out there on Sunday night and we've got to play a clean game. We've got to play hard. We've got to be competitive for 60 minutes and see what happens.
Oh, there's Bill O'Brien, just a little sample of him. I think he ruins what would be a good matchup. Again, the coach last week ruined it. The weather contributed too, but... You know, think if Dallas had a coach. What if Houston had a coach? What if Deshaun Watson had a different coach? It'd be a whole different dynamic here. And I just think that's too bad. The problem this week is the coach. All right, back to the phones. As promised, Dante's in Linfield on Lamar Jackson. Go ahead, Dante.
Hey, guys. So a lot's been made on how to stop Lamar Jackson. I really think the problem is when they run that zone read, when they run that option, you really got to get in there and hit him every time. I really don't understand why they don't take a free shot at him and just shut off this, you know. I mean, the beauty of those plays is there's one less guy you got to block. You know, that's how you stop those plays. Because once you start hitting Lamar Jackson, start making him pay, that's how you slow down their offense.
Okay, Maz, how come that hasn't happened?
Well, because I think the league is different. That's why. And I think that you'll get flagged for those now. And I'm not telling you it's right. What the caller's saying in theory, I think, is totally right. You know, once he's a runner, you can do whatever the hell you want to him. But you start lighting up the quarterback the way that league protects the QB now, they'll call it. So I also think that one variable with this guy relative to some other guys who have run, you know, who have straight speed or speed comparable to this guy is this guy's shifty. He's slippery, man. He's hard to hit. Like, you know, watching some of those highlights of Vic was fast. Vic what didn't spin in the open field like this guy did. This guy's hard to hit.
People forget that run against the Vikings that he had. He had those kind of moves. He might not be all right. There might be a more elusiveness with Lamar Jackson, but speed, I don't know. Like it's almost kind of a coin flip between these two. People forget.
You're probably right, Murray.
But Maz's thing there is I think a lot of people slip into, well, you can't hit him because you can't catch him. Eventually you get caught in that league. You know, there's a lot of fast guys in that league. And as fast as you are, you're not that much faster than it. You're the fastest people on the planet are running around out there. Eventually, you get caught. And I don't care how fast you are. Eventually, you take your licks. And he's going to take them.
He's going to get hit. Absolutely.
Does he survive it is the question. Bill in Vermont, what do you got for us on an agenda-free Friday on a Wednesday?
Well, I don't know if you guys noticed the rest of Claude Julien's week, but it was as bad as you can get. They blew a four-goal lead to the Islanders, and then he rips his team the next day, and then they show up and lose 8-1 in their own home place. Plus, Jason Garrett had obviously a horrible week, so which of those two doesn't make it to Christmas? And then my second question, and then I'll get off the air, if you had to invite one of these three people to Thanksgiving dinner, would it be Kyrie Irving? Would it be David Price? Or the combination of Robin Rex Ryan? Thanks.
Oh, I'd take the Ryans any day of the week.
Absolutely, yeah. The Ryan brothers.
Those guys would be fun.
Right. Oh, they'd be tremendous.
I'd actually want them at my table. Yeah. I wouldn't kick them out.
They'd be hilarious. It'd be whiskey being passed around. They'd be ripping farts. They'd be great.
Oh, tremendous. And David Price would easily be the last guy I'd want there.
Oh, he'd easily. Be such a pill. Who made the green beans? That's not the way my mom makes them.
I don't know.
Turkey's too dry. I don't like this. And Kyrie would just say F Thanksgiving and he'd walk out. You'd be done with him in just less than 30 seconds. That other a-hole would sit there and complain the whole time.
So on that first question, who gets it, Claude or Garrett? I'm going to go Claude. I mean, he signed like a 5-year massive contract. I think he's only in year two or three of. But I'm not convinced Garrett's done. I mean, I could totally see with the way the Eagles are going, Dallas winning that division. Now they host a playoff game. Who do they get? Maybe a rematch with Green Bay or Minnesota? And they win that game because it's hard to beat a team twice in the same year in the same building. And now they're in the divisional playoffs. And Jerry looks at it and says, well, we're a divisional playoff team. I'm going to keep them right there. I could totally see that happening. Couldn't you?
Oh, for sure. Listen, I mean, Dallas can still get in. The other thing is Jones isn't going to fire he's not going to fire Garrett in the middle of the year.
Exactly.
Right. And Claude could get it tomorrow.
let's do the email of the day, shall we? Subject line, Felger, you're an idiot, which is like, of all the emails I get, I think that might be the most common subject line that you get. You're an idiot. Subject, you're an idiot. Felger, when are you going to admit that the offense sucks, the Patriots offense just sucks? Most other years, you would have been more than willing to trash this offense for the inept crap that it is. But the anti-Brady garbage that's been the flavor of the month with you clowns the last three seasons can't allow you to do that. Because then you might actually have to give Brady's pity party some validity. And God knows that can't happen with you. How much of a delusional idiot do you have to be to say that the offense is definitely going to get better? And if it doesn't, it's Brady's fault for not working with the kids? Are you for real? Only a moron would look at the steaming pile of feces that Brady has been working with and then turn around and blame him, of all people, for the lack of improvement. Myers and Harry just aren't very good right now. Get over it. How much of an idiot are you, you toolbag? Signed, Jake. That was a good email. To the point. Concise. Made some real points. That was an excellent email. So it is all related. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you. And don't leave out Antonio Brown. I so firmly believe that you don't win with guys like Antonio Brown, and those guys don't win, that I'm willing to root for the Patriots and promote the offense to be proven right on Antonio Brown. I went through this exact same thing in 2010 when they traded Randy Moss, and I was right. I was right. The offense got better. They were a 14-2 team. They choked in the playoffs, but they were better off without Randy Moss. I was right then, and I'm going to be right now about Antonio Brown, and the way Brady's carrying himself is not cool, not good. And if I have to promote and support the offense to prove that point, I'm more than willing to do it. I am take committed. So, yep, you bet. I think Brady has not acted as a good teammate, and I think that guys like Antonio Brown are grossly overrated in terms of winning, in terms of winning at a high level. And so, yep, I am willing to support the offense to prove those other 2 points, if that's what it takes. No problem. But I am reluctant. I am reluctant to admit their offensive problems. It's true. And that is the subject of this week's Fuppets. You may say when you hear this clip that it's rooted in my indecision and my desire to facilitate and not take a hard opinion. That's what Jimmy Stewart would say. That I've become neutered since the Bruins called me out on that commercial. I'm afraid to make a hard opinion. I'm afraid to put my nuts on the table anymore because the Bruins take neutered me. I'm Murray, what'd you call me?
A eunuch.
Yeah, eunuch.
I'm a take eunuch. Okay? So you may say it's that. I think it's rooted in my refusal to admit that this offense isn't good enough. And it does go back to Antonio Brown. It does go back to Brady's demeanor. But that's all a long setup for the fresh Fuppets, okay? This is good. It'll work as a radio bit, but if you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you'll get the full flavor of it. Here's this week's edition of the Fuppets. Then you get the update. Then we come back with your calls on an Agenda Free Friday.
Put it this way. If someone beats the Patriots, how's it going to happen?
Oh, man, I don't know.
I
can't answer it.
When I was just a little girl,
their offense is going to score enough, and the Patriots aren't going to be able to punch it in and match it.
Who the hell knows?
Okay, but take an educated guess on what you've seen.
I think anything can happen. It's freaking football.
Well, then what are we talking about?
What do you mean, what are we talking about?
Whatever will be.
If anything can happen, what the hell are we debating it for?
The future's not ours to see.
But predicting the future, you know about predicting
I'm
the future.
I'm trying to get you to debate it, but you won't debate it.
Que sera, sera.
Debating the future is dumb, because no one can do it.
It's too hard to predict.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Welcome back to the program. Felger and Maserati here on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So we're treating it as an agenda-free Friday. Everything on the board from the week, anything we've gotten to or have yet to get, the whole drill. And it's brought to you, as always, by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life. BernardiAutoGroup.com. Back to your phones, as promised. Murray's opening take was, pump the brakes. Keep your pants on. As it relates to Lamar Jackson, that was his opening take. Jaguar in the car wants to respond to that. Go ahead, Jaguar.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
How you doing? What do you got?
I want to get your guys' opinion on something. I think it was draft day. Lamar Jackson had an interview with Sirius Radio, and he stated that he could run a 4.3 4.40. Now, let's assume that's true. We've seen him run. How would you defend that? Would you put a corner on him? Would you put a safety on him? Because you can't put a linebacker on him.
Okay, Jaguar. I'm going to cut you off and just put that to the side for 1 second. We'll get back to it. But we have breaking news on the Bruins. And before you announce it, Murray, I just want you to just don't give me the full news yet. We have breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, so Murray. Yeah, with that, what do you want me to do then?
Okay, so are there numbers attached to what you're about to read to me?
Yes.
So give me everything but the numbers.
Is now being announced formally by the Boston Bruins. The Bruins have signed Charlie Coyle and Chris Wagner to contract extensions. So that is your breaking news. Don Sweeney announcing today, Coyle, Wagner, multi-year contract extensions.
Are there reports on numbers with either?
Yes.
Okay, is there money involved?
Yes.
Okay, stop. So, Maz, we did this before. We don't know. We're just hearing this for the first time. I say 6 and 30. $5 million. He's a $5 million a year player. What do you say?
Yeah. I'm going to say a little less than that. I am going to say that he ends up just under five.
Okay. So, in other words,
4.5-ish.
I'll be pissed if this is worth more than $5.5 million a year. Okay. Maz, you'll be pissed if it's worth more than what?
Five.
Okay, go ahead, Murray. Give me the number.
Coyle has signed a 6-year contract extension with an annual NHL cap hit of $5.25 million. Ugh. Wagner has signed a 3-year contract extension with a cap hit of 1.3.
Thank you. Okay.
Wagner's deal is a good deal.
Let me just do Wagner first. Thank you. He makes 1.2 this year. The extension is for 1.3. We're not getting stupid. We're not doing the Peter Chiarelli thing of paying the Fribble crew. 1.3, fine. NHL minimum is probably like 800,000, 900,000. That's just barely over minimum. Fine, no problem. Okay. Charlie Coyle, Maz, I told you, he's a $5 million a year player. He is.
Yeah, so look, again, you know the salary structure better than I do. I didn't realize he was 3.2 this year. I still tell you, though, I think that's too much. So from that standpoint, like that's still a good chunk of dough in a league with a hard cap. So now if they're banking on him being the second line center when Krejci's gone, if that's what the logic is, I would say good luck to him. I don't think he's a second line center.
Oh, you don't?
I don't.
Oh, I do.
I don't.
Mm. So his numbers, and you know, I'm going to look up what his stats are this year. I do feel like his stats.
Five goals, nine assists.
Okay, 14 points in how many games have they played?
24.
Yeah.
He's way ahead of where he was last year in terms of production.
Yeah, he's a plus five through 24 games.
So, Mask, you do the quick math. 14 points in 24 games equals how many over 82?
I mean, he's going to come in around 45 points.
That's it?
I mean, I'll do the exact math, but he's basically a half a point a game. He's a little more than that, but I'll give you the exact number in a minute. You said 24 games, right?
14 points in 24 games.
48 points. I said 45.
So the point production is low. I'm going to grant you that. The point production is low. Low for a second-line center, low for a guy who just signed that contract. And I think his point production is low when you just look at it in terms of what he does on the ice. In other words, I think he's a real factor most every time he's on the ice. I really do. I think he's excellent in his own end. I think he's an excellent puck possession guy. I think he's a better center than a wing. I think he sets people up. I think he was, to me, your best player in the finals last year. I thought he and certainly when he was skating with, what's his name there? What's his face?
Johansson.
Dude from Jersey, Johansson, that they were your best combination. But I think his possession game is great, the way he controls the puck, the way he controls the boards, the way he controls down low. I think he's been a real find for him. I think he's been a revelation. I think he's been one of their most important players. Not to say one of their best players. But, and so when I watch him out there, I feel like he should be more than a 48-point guy. And maybe that's his problem. That was his problem in Minnesota. He just doesn't put up the points. But I think he's been a huge addition for you.
Yeah,
huge.
Look, I like him too. I just think that a lot of him is the matchup. So now you're putting him on the second line. He's top six. I just, you know, now you're paying $5.25 million a year. I think that's a little high. That's all. I mean, again, I'm happy he's here, but I feel like the money's high.
So Krejci has 1 year left after this, as you mentioned earlier. They're not exactly bursting at the seams with talent at center. I mean, the kid last night, Stonica, is one of the guys that projects, but he's not even close to that yet. And Charlie Coyle at 27 years old, I feel good about the player. I like the player. I like the player a lot. And I don't know, when we said it earlier, I said 6 at 30. I said 6 at 30, he's $5 million a year player. He's a hair over that. 6 at 5.25. I think he's going to be worth it. I do. And I think that eventually, well, the hope is eventually the puck goes in the net commensurate with how he controls the game. And
well, they're clearly banking on bigger production from him in the coming years, right?
Yes,
I mean, he's sort of in his peak years right about now. And last year in the postseason, just to give you an idea, he played 24 games. 24 games in the regular season this year, 14 points. 24 games in the playoffs last year, 16 points. So the fact that he was able to continue that level of production in the postseason, good. I agree. He was really good in the playoffs. And if he's a good postseason player, all the power to him. I also think he was playing on the third line. And so he had a matchup advantage. If you start paying him like a second line guy and he's a third line player, then he's overpaid.
Certainly. I think he will be. So this is as much of a projection as anything. And I think that's been a killer trade for Don Sweeney. Killer trade. You got Ryan Donato, who I'm not even sure is a bona fide NHL guy. I'm not even sure of that. And if he is, he's Frank Vetrano. I say that with all the love and respect in my heart. I think Coyle's got far more beef to him. Far more. He's just far sturdier. He has the size and he uses it. And I think he's a good setup guy with good vision. He's good on the dot. All of this. So I really like Charlie Coyle. And let's say this about Don Sweeney. He's pretty much nailed these contracts. You know, Bergeron at 6'8", wasn't him, but that's still a decent number. But Pastrnak at 6'6", great number. I mean, Pastrnak's going to be an MVP candidate.
That's probably the best deal in hockey.
And those guys are making $10 million a year, and he's at 6'6", and he's at 6'6", for the next 4 years. All right? Marchand at 6'1", for the next 5 years, for crying, 6 years. Marchand has 6 years left, including this one.
He did well on those deals.
Great deal. I think the McAvoy deal at 4.9 was, I don't even think McAvoy's playing to that level, but I was worried McAvoy'd be in the $7 million a year range. So I think Sweeney's, he's the anti-Shirelli when it comes to this. He hasn't overpaid his own guys. And if that's any guide, then Charlie Coyle's going to be worth the 5.25. But he's an interesting case, that's for sure. All right, so there's your breaking news on the Bruins and the extension. That was Ryan Whitney, NHL Network, was the first guy to tweet that out today. And he got it right, so there you go. We'll continue with your thoughts on that. We can get back to the pantsing of Montreal in the Bell Center last night, which was glorious in and of itself. We can do that. Whatever you want, it's an agenda-free Friday on a Wednesday. And as we do the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, a couple high school calls coming your way next as well.
Boys and girls, here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome. Of course it is.
That's great. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And there's nothing better to hear if you're a Bruins fan.
Somebody just threw a white towel on the ice.
High slot. Grizzlick fires. Just goes wide. The Canadians scoop it up. And the horn will sound.
The Boston Bruins have won four straight. Their unbeaten streak is now eight. As Bob talked about their lead, the Atlantic now 8 points as they smoke the Canadiens in Montreal. Your final tonight, Bruins 8, Canadiens 1.
That was Gloria. That was tremendous last night. Tremendous. What did we call it, Mason? What do you got for me?
Saucisse humide abattue.
Which the translation is, again, please help me.
Moist sausage beat down.
You went up there and beat the Canadians about the face with a moist sausage. Once again, give it to me.
Saucisse humide abattue.
Oh, someone call 911. Someone call the authorities. Someone got assaulted last night. It's the Canadiens. I didn't even realize. I should have been more aware of it. I didn't realize the backstory there with Julian, where they blew that big lead. He called him out, and then they did that to him last night. Like, oh, look out, Claude.
Oh, yeah. Feels like the seat's getting a little warm, don't you think?
Oh, my God. So, a big win for the Bruins. And you know, we had a caller earlier, Maz, that said, you know, is it time to start buying in on the Bruins? Like that just sort of generic talk radio question. But let me ask you, is it time to buy in on the Bruins?
I mean, they've been impressive here in the early going, but it's too early. It's just too early. And I'll tell you what concerns me. It's not their makeup, because I like their makeup. It's hard not to when they come out of the gate like this and start, you know, just steamrolling people. Again, just because the stat's worth repeating, they've lost three games in regulation. In two of them, they had goals called back. One of them in Colorado, they had multiple goals called back. The only game that they lost that you would say, wow, what a stinker, Detroit. That's it. Three regulation losses. Okay, so I love their makeup. I love the competitiveness, the feistiness, the professionalism, all of that. I mean, they're a professional team. That's the word I would use for them. They really are a bunch of professional guys. But what I worry about is when you make a cup run, that is 24 games of just grueling physical beating. And I don't know what kind of shape they're going to be in the spring.
Yeah, they've played beyond my expectations, and I will enjoy this season. I have enjoyed this season, and I will fully expect them to let me down in the playoffs again.
Well, so be that as it may, here's what they've crossed a certain threshold with me, and that is, Maz, I talked about this earlier, I would not have been surprised if they struggled to make the playoffs this year or even missed, because I just, given their age, all how banged up they were at the end of last year, the mental and physical toll that losing Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals takes on you. It just would not have surprised me. I mean, I thought last year was their window. That's it. That was their chance. That was their last great opportunity to win with this group. And it was going to go down from there. And so I thought there was a chance they'd miss the playoffs. Really. I mean, not that I would have bet on that, but, you know, a decent chance of it. Now that we're at U.S. Thanksgiving and they're 12 points clear of the playoffs and they're playing the way they're playing, all right, so that fear of them missing the playoffs and, you know, being a middler has sort of abated. They're one of the best teams in the league, and they're going to be one of the best teams in the league. And so now I should have an expectation that they can go on a run and they can capitalize on that. Now, will they? I mean, Tampa still has a better roster, and Tampa's sort of waiting there in the wings, and they're sort of lurking. They got off to a slow start. I think that was almost intentional. So Tampa's still out there. And Washington is a terrific club that has your number. And so if we get into a matchup with one of those teams, I mean, I'm not going to pick the Bruins, I don't think. I wouldn't pick them today against those teams. But at least I'm going to sit here and say, you know what? We got a run. We got a team on our hands. We got a season on our hands, and they're capable of a run. And I wasn't willing to go that far to begin the year, Maz. So I think they've crossed that threshold.
Yeah, look, again, I've been impressed. I can't tell you how impressed I've been with the Bruins here in the early part of the year to come out of the gate the way they have. But let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. Today is November 27th. How many games has Bergeron missed already?
Ooh, five or six.
Okay, so like this is one that I look at and say, this was a groin injury, a sports hernia, or whatever the hell it was, that he did not have surgery on, and now it's already nagging him, and it's November. What's he going to look like in the spring? And I don't know that they can win it without Bergeron. So, that's a big one.
So there's your Bruins reset. Got all these calls on our board, a lot on Lamar Jackson and the Patriots. We got Kyrie Irving's return to Boston tonight, which isn't going to happen, but we're going to still act like it is. So we'll rip the crap out of Kyrie Irving and his cowardly, absolutely cowardly maneuver to not be here tonight, to play this game or even just sit on the bench.
Gutless puke.
Take your medicine. The gutless puke move of Kyrie Irving.
Apparently. That's, just real quick, Mike. Apparently someone's been putting up signs all around and in the garden all day of photos of Kyrie Irving that say coward and photos of Kyrie Irving as the cowardly lion.
Okay. So we can still have that kind of day and still have that kind of night at the garden. And as we do every year, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we play you local calls to get you in the mood for your high school football game tomorrow. You've all heard these before. There have been new options that have been put in front of me, and I've listened to some new and different stuff. But you know what? None of them are better than the stuff we play every year. I still haven't heard any better than these, so we're going to keep replaying these because these are good. As if you've heard them before, it'll be familiar, like an old sock that you put on your foot. This is Marist High. This is, if I have this right, I think this guy gets really excited about a field goal. Go ahead, Mason.
Tom O'Neill is set up for a 36-yard field goal attempt. The holder...
Very important.
Is Ryan Carroll. So be careful. We've seen him with some jets.
Oh, fast.
The wind, the flags right now are still. Snap. There's a kick. It's gone. Oh, my gosh. The kick is gone. And Marist has won the game. 31-28, pyrotechnics.
Very basic call. I always thought the guy sounded a little bit like Chris Farley.
Oh, yeah. No. Again, you know, and before you get too excited about the kick, the holder. So don't get, let me finish.
The holder is Ryan Carroll.
Is he fast?
Yeah, they're going to fake it.
Is he fast? Can he run? Like, why is that important? Tell me why. Why is that important that Ryan Carroll is the holder? Mason?
We've seen him with some jets.
I got it. All right.
Pyrotechnics.
The next one is not high school football, but we put it in the list here because this individual got us started doing this back in the old days. This individual, and well, this call, you know this individual. I'll tell you who it is afterwards. You probably know, or you will know, but I want to tease it a little bit. Tell me who this is on this call. It's not high school football. It's actually college basketball. And I think it fits with some of these high school calls. I do. Go ahead, Mason. Roll this one, please.
59 all. 8 seconds to go.
Let's see what the Minutemen
can
do.
The inbound. Maxwell gets it into Vigiano. Pumps it up to Bowers. Bowers to Freeman. Gets the 2 points. Rashawn Freeman. Here comes UConn. 3 seconds. 2 seconds. Shot. They can't get it up. There's no time left.
UMass wins the game. 61-59. This crowd is going nuts. They rush the floor. The Minutemen have won the game. The Minutemen have beat the sixth-ranked team in the nation.
So I thought it was an excellent call, by the way.
I just wish we had a clean version of it because it is a really good call. Just overmodulated.
No, see, I think the overmodulation lends to it. I think that's what makes it fits with the high school calls. It's the technology sounds high schoolish.
Right. Then it's
this crowd is going nuts. They rush the floor. The Minutemen.
It's like the Abington guys, grade level.
Yeah. Yeah, the Abington guys have better sound quality than that. That's UMass. What do you want? But, yeah, that's Mark DeBeto Bertrand on UMass basketball. I've always loved that call. It fits with the theme of the day. Okay, I promise you're all lined up here on all those topics. 90 seconds for an update here from Murray. There's no commercials, and we do your final hour of just your calls here on Agenda Free Friday on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150. Win or lose, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.